things are happening in such a great, mighty way until it's hard to keep your balance anymore. I've tried a number of times to bring out some of the deep things of God because I desire to talk about the deep things of God. But I have a lot of problem trying to do that because some of us are just not spiritual. Some of us are spiritual, some of us are not spiritual. And it makes it real difficult to get into the revelation of the Lord Jesus. And that's what I love, is the revelation of the Lord Jesus. God has given me the revelation of Jesus Christ, not because I'm good, as I say so often, but because He's good. And I wish I was a whole lot better as to my own doings, but I am what I am, Paul said, by the grace of God, and that I am just what I am by the grace of God, then I have to do the best I can. I got a letter today. I'd asked some of them to kind of pray over it. I don't think I mentioned it to some of them, maybe not even Chuck. Oh, you know about it? Okay, that's great. He said that he would. Received a letter today. I've been wanting to get into Israel. We've been there about 7 times. And this time I felt we should go back, if the Lord will permit us to. The 8th time usually has to do with resurrection. Always the rending of the veil, the 7th time, usually has to do with the fulfilling of time. And of course, you remember the prophecy and the time is fulfilled. But so far we haven't been able to go. We've not felt led to go. They have brought the price to about $1,100, a little more, to go into Israel without even an advance notice anymore. And someone was telling me that the Jews are boasting of the fact that even though their own fellow men, the Jews, are afraid to come into Israel because of this crisis, but said the Jews themselves are boasting that those Christian people, that it just don't stop them. He said those Christian pilgrims, as they put it, are still coming into Israel. So they're just coming right on in anyway. Of course, that's what I had planned to do. I told my wife, I said, I can't help. You know how dangerous it is. I still want to go over there, and I'd like to go. And if the Lord would just give me just a little bit initiative toward it, I'd be gone. But still, I've tried to go each time that He wanted me to go, to the best of my understanding, and not to get in my own way or will. Well, anyway, in praying about it, wanting to reach the Jewish people because I have a great compassion for them. The Bible said, they that pray for Israel will prosper. And we were asked to pray for Israel because of the hideous, horrible things that's to come upon Israel. The Bible gave it, Jesus said, as a judgment such as never been upon the earth, never in the history of the world, or never ever will be again. Such suffering, such tribulation. And I know one of the reasons is because the Jews, first of all, said, let His blood be upon us. And the people became angry throughout the earth because they felt the Jews had, through their ignorance, killed the Messiah. And killed our Messiah. And it caused them to be bitter. And they took the wrong outlook. And yet the Lord suffered it because of what they said. And to bring about what He was going to do. But still at the same time, God didn't intend for the nations to do the way they've done to the Jewish people. And they have to answer for it to the extent that one day He will make the Jews the head of the nation, and they will be over all the nations and will judge all the nations according to the wrongs as to them mistreating them. God will not let the Jews judge them according to the blood that come upon them, in that He suffered it to come upon them when they cried, let His blood be upon us. But the people took advantage as to that, the wicked, and they have literally slain the Jew and massacred the Jew. And someday they will have to answer for their evil, wretched doings at the hands of the Jews. And every nation to where they were scattered, they'll have to answer as the judgment is placed in the hands of that one nation when they're made the head of the nation, like America today has been in the past, the head of the nations. So it's been a bad situation. But it is something right now as to all of them taking occasion as to make extinct the Jews. When they boycott against them and come in like they did at the Masada, they come in against them, they will come in to make everything extinct, to do away with the Jew. How do you remember the sermon we preached on clearing the books? The days of Mordecai, the wicked Haman, how that God raised up the woman in that day to put her there as queen. I mean, remember Queen Esther. But anyway, how that all this came about, we preached the sermon on it. King troubled in the night, checking the chronicles. How that even at that time, Satan desired to make extinct the royal seat as to the Jew, because the Messiah was to come through the Jewish lineage as to the seed, and yet not through them in the sense as to man, but as to divine conception of the woman. And that the man forfeited his right as to Coniah, when even though God swore that to David there would have his seed set upon the throne, one of his sons, and it would never fail, yet Coniah doing wicked and evil, breaking that lineage as to the trend of it, then they had to go another way. And even as it was with Nathan, and coming down through that side as to the woman, he still brought it to pass to keep his word to David. But anyway, Satan has always tried to make the royal seed extinct. And when the nations come in around Jerusalem, they're not necessarily planning to do those things. It was like in the AD 70. It was at the time of Titus. How many remember the time of Titus? When he come in, a young Roman general, when he come in, was going to capture the city, had no plans of the ravishing, of the terrors, of the massacring, of burning the temple. But the prophecies of the prophets said because of the wickedness it would happen. And so it happened, and it happened so bad that history says that the leaders of the army were shocked. And the great leader said, I did not plan this. This is not of me. This is of God. So I said that to say this, that Satan always takes advantage when something rises against Israel. Satan moves in because he wants to make that royal seed extinct, because he wants to set up his own royalty and his own kingdom in the earth and his own way of life in the earth. And to do that, he has to eradicate the Jew. And as I've said to you before, and I wish we had time to get into some of it tonight, but we just thought we'd exalt you a little bit, worship with you a little bit. Maybe we'll talk about some things concerning these things I'd like to speak about tonight. Maybe we'll talk about them later. But anyway, as pertaining to the Jew, and the Bible said, and out of the east shall come tidings that shall trouble him. See, when everything is set up and boycotted, the Jew will not bow down to Antichrist's God, the strange God that he will worship. And they will feel, the people will take the mark and feel that their God is here and whatever, but the Jews will not. And the Bible said, out of the east, that is from the Jews, tidings will trouble him. And those tidings, according to what I understand, will be that they're still looking for their Messiah. And the Bible said, then he'll go forth in all of his fury to destroy. See, Satan will be vexed because they will not surrender themselves or submit themselves to his ordinance and way of life and government. And he'll go forth to make them extinct, to eradicate, to do away with his problems and his thorn in the flesh, as we say. But at that time, all of a sudden, Revelation 19 is fulfilled. And he meets head on with all of his armies. He met meets head on the Lord Jesus Christ himself as the one upon the white horse with his vesture dipped in blood. And Jesus meets him head on with all of his armies as to defend Israel, being born among the Jews, as to them saying, "Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord," and they'll join themselves with him. After that fierce tribulation period, they'll submit, follow, love him, receive him as the king and as the Messiah. Because the only reason they rejected him to start with is because he come not as a king on a white horse, but as a child in a manger. In a stable, as we say. Being born among the beast to take on the image of the beast. To smite it at Calvary, to free us from the image of the beast, that we might take on the image of God, that from which we had fallen as to the sonship in the garden, being made in God's image. The restoration, that is. And much that could be said about it. But in Revelation 19, he'll come as the king on that white horse. And they will, by then, have made things right. Anyway, everything is shaping up for the eradication, not of the Jews, that will be made the head of the nation through the 1,000 years millennium, but it's heading up for the eradication of every other power and kingship except the Lord Jesus, which will sit upon the throne of David and will, as I've said so many times, by the chronological order of the books of the kings and by the historical recordings, be proven to be Lord of Lords and King of Kings as to the only heir, according to the record, the only heir to the throne of David. And this is why the Lord let the prophets' prophecy come to pass, to burn the records, to burn everything, that there wouldn't be any record left, except when Jesus was born and they brought him up to make a record there at his birth, when the taxing came and all of them had to go up to Jerusalem to be taxed. And at that time, the birth of Jesus, the only record then would be as to the biblical record, not even the ones that they would hold as the Jewish people. All of them was to be burned but the Bible. And the only one record there is today is the historical as to the biblical record that he is heir to the throne of David. And that is the law of the Jewish people, and that is the law as to them being the head of the nation. They'll set the standards for law, and that'll be the only law as to a historical record that will prove him to be Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And they'll have to, by the law of the land, set him on the throne of David to rule and to reign, that the kingdoms of this world under the law will become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, who shall reign forever and ever. Anyway, that's what it's coming to, and that's not that far off. Let's read just a little bit and comment. I won't hold you very long, but seems like that we've turned right to that, as always. Chapter 19, the book of Revelation. "And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God, for true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth and with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 24 beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that hath with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, Come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth, and the armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles on before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having a key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hand. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years, but the rest of the dead lived not again, until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth, and compassed the camp of the saints about in the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Of course, this is after the millennium. And the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. I just read that to you because I wanted you to think just a little bit on some things. We're just going to read just a little bit, comment just a very little bit, the Lord willing. Now, I thought it was strange that while we're approaching that thing as to the millennium, having just told you the vision I had that went into the millennium, the end of the days of the Gentile, those kind of things, I thought it strange that at this time we would receive opportunity by letter from Israel to go on the radio to preach from Lebanon. When we were over there at the beginning, a long time ago, Sister Betty remembers, we met Pat Boone, communicated some with Pat, and then at that time Pat Boone and George Otis was making a picture together, and it must have been at that time that Brother Otis, being a Christian, established the Lebanon station as the Pan American station there and got control of it for its about 10 years in service, and they are having a respond. I was reading some of it today, a good respond. And the radio reaches out over Israel. It reaches out, it has pictures as though it reaches out over Iraq and Syria, Saudi Arabia, Turkey, and Jordan, Egypt, numbers of places. And they have offered us opportunity to go on the station. They've got a hold of our minister, the Revelation of Jesus Christ, and they have offices there in California. And they have asked us to go on the station. And there's a number of outstanding ministries that's on the station. And they've offered us a real reasonable price of about $35 for 15 minutes and about $69 for 30 minutes, which is real good. And it would be a chance or an opportunity for us to get into the hearts of the Israelites. And I thought it was really something at this time because we have just been desirous to get into some of the teachings concerning Israel as to go back and prophetically and historically bring up the lifestyle of Israel and some of the dates and some of the documentary things and bring them out little by little and detail them and bring them out and make comparison to the New Testament as to the Lord Jesus and what he did and how accurate God is as to the accuracy of time, as to what we refer to as the Moed, the appointed time, when the Lamb himself came. It is so astounding. I'd want to talk to you about it here. Whereas if I had the programs, I would probably have to do special programs to be able to get to those people because they don't understand like you do. Maybe slip against some of the other Christian-like programs as we go along, but we would have to go back and give them something that would be so strong that they couldn't deny it, to prove Jesus to be the Messiah. And this would be just the right time for the Lord to turn to the Jewish people. I've been praying that he would do that. And I had had a vision, and in the vision, I related this vision to you, if you recall. I had a vision, and in this vision, I only saw three people involved in this vision as that I recognized. I saw the Jewish people and they were in great derision. And their enemy had closed in on them and they did not know what to do. And they were looking for leadership. And in the vision, David Paul had become a commander among the Israelites. And in the vision, I was a prophet among the Israelites. And David was there as a commander, and they were waiting for me as a prophet to give them the prophetical utterance as to guidance. and that they might know what to do to fight their enemy. And the only other one that I saw was that way off down by himself over here to the left was Raymond McCullough, which is the accountant. And I thought that was real strange because it's just at this time that David Paul is at a council with Raymond and talked to him about something that he and I had had in mind that involves Raymond. No one else but Raymond. And kind of an exclusive sort of thing. I thought that was real strange. And we could go on and go on seeing things that right here at the Christmas season, it's the birth of the child. Mr. Bush is talking about attacking over there. Christmas Eve, he's kind of setting that as a time. And then all of a sudden, this opportunity comes to us right about Christmas time. And there's just many, many other things that we could say that would seem baffling as the accuracy of what God seems to be doing and what we have predicted and what we said and the things that's falling into place right now. But anyway, I just read you a little bit about the millennium as to what is coming just before and what is going through the millennium and what is going to happen after the millennium. It's all kind of a compact thing. Wish we had a lot of time to detail it. But I'd like to read just a little bit now in the book of Revelation over at chapter 11. I don't have very long to say anything here tonight, but if you'll notice in chapter 11, it says, "And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein." What I read to you a little bit ago was the finishing of the 7 weeks of Daniel, or the last week. That was the finishing of it. And it brought in the millennium. And I just read on over through the millennium as to the loosening of Satan, the binding, the loosening, and of the coming in of New Jerusalem, to give you a complete thought on it. But now we've backtracked, come all the way over here to the middle of the week. You say, how do I know it's the middle of the week? Well, you probably don't recall. A lot of people don't give the earnest heed to the things they've heard. They let them slip. But I brought it out the other night. It's on tape here, proving that this was the middle of the week as to what Daniel had said. Taking it from the book of Daniel, making an application over there, and positively proving that this is the middle of the week right here we're reading. All right. So reading here as leading up here to the middle of the week as to the Revelation 11:12, it says, "And there was given me a reed like unto a rod." The middle of the week, 3.5 years, times time and a half time, and the time of the prophecy here as to the prophets prophesying, tutoring Israel in the first part here. 3.5 years, and been following that the 3.5 years where that the woman after the birth of a child is to that that's caught up in the middle of the week, Revelation 12 to the third heaven, and that the second heaven is defiled. I mentioned that the other night, how the second heaven is defiled, and the third heaven is the only thing that's preserved as of now. First heaven, second heaven, third heaven, just casually mentioned it to you. Wish we had plenty of time to elaborate. You had plenty of time to listen and plenty of hunger and thirst. Takes days and months. But anyway, here in 11 and 12, it gives the birth of the child. It tells the dragon is waiting to devour it. It tells about the war in heaven, and it tells about the angels fighting and the dragon not prevailing and being cast out. We could read all this to you. "And now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused him before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death." So it is said, "Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and thee that dwell in them, water the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time." That is to say, here he is cast out, the war in heaven, and then he personifies himself. But at that time, the church is already caught up. And the 144,000 is already caught up on the mountain and been sealed. Jesus come back for them. But Satan cannot be in the spirit or in heaven anymore. From where I'm reading, all the way over to Revelation 19, the place that I read to you is the place of the sounding of the seventh trumpet. And the pouring out of the wrath of God as to the seven plagues. And the judgment of the great whore and those kind of things and the fall of Babylon. So here we are in the middle of the week, we say. It says, "But the court which is without the temple, leave out and measure it not. For it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months, as your 3.5 years. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. See, this is again your 3.5 years. These are the two olive trees, and the two candlesticks stand before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devour their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. 483 years to Calvary. Now we add another 3.5 years to it, bringing us to the middle of the week. Past this, we'll add another 3.5 years to it, taking us on to Revelation 19, putting all that together. It'll be 7 years. It's a 3.5, 3.5, putting that with the 483. It'll be the 490 years that was determined upon Daniel's people, which, of course, is the Jews. So we're reading here 3.5 years before the end of that last week. It says here that if any man will hurt them, fire will come out of the mouth and devour their enemy. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of the prophecy. This is getting close by now. And have power over waters to turn them to blood and to smite the earth with all plague as often as they will. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. Now I'm just putting a little bit together here because, as I said, we just don't have time to really get into a subject tonight. But see, I'm reading to you in Revelation 11. It said, now the beast that shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, he'll make war with these and kill these two prophets. These prophets are going to be there during the first half of Daniel's last week. Will be tutoring Israel. The church will have been gone because back over in the first part of this week, I showed you where John saw that door open in heaven. The 144,000 was sealed, 12,000 out of each tribe. And that's at that same time, he looked into heaven and he saw a great multitude that no man could number that was before the throne. And the Bible said, following the Lamb whithersoever he went, and no heat should light upon them or whatever. The translation of the church, those that were brought up out of great tribulation. Now, as to the tribulation we're living in today, not as the great tribulation as you would think, as to the 7 years of Daniel. They go out at the first of that 7 years. Notice now it said, when they have finished their testimony, these two prophets, he said, then Antichrist, or he says, the beast. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. Now, that's in Revelation 11, 7. But if you'll read over a Revelation 13 and 1, you'll see it says, and I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. Now, see, this is what Revelation 11 is speaking of. By this time, all this transpiring in the middle of the week, by this time, the prophets will have finished their testimony to Israel. The middle of the week is there. The covenant is ready to be broken. Daniel clarifies this in his teachings. And now, all of a sudden, here comes this beast up out of the water. Why? Because when the two prophets finished their testimony, just as quick as their testimony is finished, then the great wonder appears in heaven, the war comes, Satan is cast out immediately. Because see, when these finish their tutoring, it's time for the woman to go away in the wilderness. While she's there to rehearse the teachings for this next 3.5 years as to her cleansing and purification. Because they have taught her to the middle of the week, because now in the middle of the week, the travail is coming. John saw immediately following the tutoring. He saw this great thing in heaven as to the woman in travail, having the crown of 12 stars on her head, and having a moon under her feet, and she was clothed with the sun. Now that is the glory of God. This is the Jew coming back in as to the natural body. All right, now, all of a sudden, this is seen in heaven. Whereas following this, 13, the beast comes up out of the waters. Following that, 14, Jesus appears on the Mount Zion, and the 144,000 that has been sealed over in Revelation 7 has gone all the way through unto, from 7 right on over, all the way unto the catching up on Mount Zion. When I say going through this, going through all those things as to the war, the shrapnel, the blood, the falling of the stars, the sounding of those 7 trumpets. And we are right here now in Revelation 11 and the last trumpet, 11:15, and the 7 angels sounded, and there was a great voice in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. See, and it says, and the nations were angry. Now has come the time of the dead that they should be judged, that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants and the prophets and to the saints. See, all of this, right now the nations are angry. So see, then comes the war in heaven after the sounding of that last trumpet. Then Satan is cast out. Then he personifies himself. Then he comes up out of the waters. At the same time, the 144,000 goes to Mount Zion and they're sealed. Jesus comes back for them. And they've already been protected that they should not be hurt during the tribulation period as to that first part of the pit opening up, the locust coming out, and all these things. All right. Now, I know you're not going to get this, but maybe it'll just drop a little thought or two in there so when I do get a chance, I can go through it with you. Now, they'll lay dead, that is to say the prophets, 3.5 days, they'll lay dead out in the streets. They won't suffer their bodies to be put in the graves, probably show them on television, all these things, all the nations will rejoice over them. And then all of a sudden, the Spirit of God will come into them after 3.5 days. Pick them up, they'll stand on their feet, and then ascend up into heaven, and all their enemies shall see them. All right, so the middle of the week. This is at the same time following and the same hour was there a great earthquake and the 10th part of the city, that is of Jerusalem, fell. And the earthquake were slain, in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000. And the remnant were frightened and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second war is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. Now that's the second woe. 7 trumpets, 5 sounded. 4 sounded, the last 3 was woe, woe, woe. Now this is the second, which means the second of the 6th trumpet. And then all of a sudden the 7th trumpet sounds, and that is a woe. The last of the 3 woes, which is the finishing of the mystery. So the last angel that sounds is one of the woes in Revelation, one of the 3 woes. It's the last trumpeter. All right. So I said all that to try to make a point here. See, this brings on the war in heaven. The mistress is finished, which means now if the mistress is finished, Satan has to reveal himself. Because as long as he is not personified to where we can see him in a human body, it is a mystery of iniquity. And it must be finished. Because here the 7th angel sounded, and it was said in Revelation 10:7, in the days of the voice of the 7th angel, the mystery of godliness will be finished. So if the mystery of godliness is now finished, or the mystery of God, it says, singular. If it is now finished, then the mystery of iniquity must be finished. So when Lucifer is cast out, then he's made manifest. All right, so we see that all these things are coming together right here in the middle of the week, and this is when the covenant is broken, and this is the woman going away in the wilderness, down across Jordan, as we say, over in the valley of Petra, and there to be purified 3.5 years, staying away until Revelation 19, and Jesus comes back, leading them on the white horse to fight against all of the nations of the earth, which has gathered together to make war, fight, ravish, to take over Jerusalem. For it is divided into a number of parts, which we don't have time to explain. We have briefly said something to you about it. The woman, she goes into the wilderness, part of Israel, 144,000 goes up on the mountain, part of Israel. And then those that have gone into the wilderness, as to the woman, that is that part of Israel, the Bible said, will flee from Israel, while as the other part, he'll go to make war with the remnant of her seed. That is to say, those that will not leave Israel, they'll have their money and businesses, carnal mind, and stay in there, and the ravishing and all of the heartaches and sorrows and woes will take place. Because the 144,000 will be saved. The woman, remember that child was in heaven. And the woman was in heaven. She's then in the grace of God. She will be taken care of. But the remnant that would not follow God, that had their minds on money and the things of the world, will try to blend in with this thing is to the armed forces coming in, and it will be a nightmare like they've never dreamed of when the Antichrist feels that he has taken over Jerusalem. Now, this don't mean anything to you and I, naturally speaking. It doesn't mean a thing to us because we're over here in America. But I've been over there in Israel. Some of you have been over there in Israel. I've walked on their soil. I've been there. I've seen the tears of their people. I've seen the needs of their people, just like I'm standing here to where I can touch you. I was standing there where I could touch their flesh and bones. See, and see the sorrow and the heartaches and the woe and the pains and the misery and the sufferings and whatever. And what has happened in their country, they've suffered from that. What's happened in your country, you've suffered from it, which hasn't been a whole lot except in a spiritual sense. You know, but all of a sudden, that place is going to become a reality to you and I. We're going to know more about it than we've ever known in our entire life. See, so we're trying to learn a little bit about it here. It's getting close. Because when I say in the middle of the last week of Daniel, I'm simply saying that at the end of the 483 years, then comes the church ages. At the end of those church ages, there's only 7 years. Folks, think back 7 years ago. Where was you? Who was you? What was you doing 7 years ago? Think about how fast that last 7 years of your life passed. Think about it now. Some of you have been here at Bethlehem a lot longer than 7 years. 7 years ago? Just think, 7 years of bad government and the tribulation period will be over. Just think, 3.5 years ago, where was you? Just 3.5 years of tribulation. And here comes this terrible ordeal in the middle of Daniel's last week. See, so we're getting right close to that. And the Bible said for you and I to pray for the translation. Pray always that we may be accounted worthy to escape those things that's coming on the earth. For the Bible said darkness is going to cover the people, gross darkness. They're going to gnaw their tongues for pain. They won't even be healing medicines. They won't even be able to die out of their misery. So then we see here what we're trying to say as to the tidings out of the east troubling Antichrist. We're seeing here as to the middle of the week after 3.5 years going over into the last part of what is referred as the time of Jacob's trouble and this horrible, hideous thing. And I keep referring back to this because you're so close to it. You're so close to it. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, 3.5 years. My, 3.5 years. And that won't be very long for us to be here before this will happen. And that thing will actually come up out of the sea. And someone would say, Revelation 19, 7 years, Brother Pike. And that won't be very long. And we'll look, and there he'll actually come back on the white horse. But I keep telling you that you're way off base. That's not the way it is. That's not the way it works. It's not 3.5 years and you'll see this. 3.5 years, you'll be gone 3.5 years before. 7 years before Revelation 19. You'll see Revelation 19 because you'll return with the Lord on the white horses. You'll see this other because you'll have access to heaven and earth. But you won't be here into your human body to experience these things. The church will not go through the tribulation. I know that there's churches that teaches that it will, and post-millennials and pre-millennials, and we brought out something that really clears that up about a post and a pre. But we can't do it tonight. That's to remind you. But anyway, you will not go through it. Though it does speak of the saints, where it says, and there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemy, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. That is from the middle of the week on when he rises up and kills the prophets. And he goes on to that last 3.5 years there till the wrath of God's poured out upon him. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. Remember that now. Power was given unto him over all kindreds, nations, tongues, and powers. He'll be at the head of the stalk, as we say. But remember that just back over 3.5 years before, back there close to the beginning of the week, it speaks again of nations and tongues, where it says, and these that were caught up followed the Lamb of all nations and kindreds and tongues, and that there would never be any problem with them anymore, or tears or sorrow. So it can't be the saints of God. It can't be the saints of God. They're caught up to where there'll be no more pain and sorrow long before this takes place. These are they that are going through the tribulation period, and they are referred to as saints. But it also refers to them that dwell in heaven to make war with the saints and to overcome them, as to the saints that dwell in her in the earth. And as to them that are in the Spirit of God, also that dwell in heaven. See, that is to say, as to the natural body still being present. So we see that this is actually going to happen, in that he will kill two of the saints, as to the two prophets. But this also refers to Israel in general as the church in the wilderness. For it says, the two prophets, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and notable day of the Lord that shall burn as an oven. This is just before he pours out of those plagues upon the Antichrist. And then he reminded him of Moses, and he said, this is the two candlesticks. This is the two candlesticks here. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. That's Moses and Elijah. That's on the mount with him in the transfiguration. That is Moses and Elijah coming back. That's the two candlesticks. That is the two olive trees. There is nowhere in the Bible, in the Old Testament or the New Testament, where it speaks of anybody that ever was or ever will be the two candlesticks and the two olive trees, except Moses and Elijah representing the law and the prophets. Nowhere. That's why that I am so persistent or insist on the fact that Moses and Elijah will actually come back. They will come back. It won't be two people. It will be Moses and Elijah. The reason it was said of John the Baptist that this is Elias, it was for to come, if you can receive it. It was the spiritual perspective of it. And it was said to the priest when he was officiating within the temple. And your wife shall conceive in her old age and bear a son. And ye shall call his name John, for he shall go forth in the spirit of Elias. That's why that it was called the spirit of Elias. The angel said he will go forth in the spirit of Elias, and he will turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers and the hearts of the fathers. That's why when they said his name is to be called after the father, he wrote and said his name should be called John. That's what the angel said. And that's why the mother had said it. He'd already wrote it somewhere or let her know that the name was to be called John. And that's why she said his name shall be called John, when they were amazed and said, you have no relatives after this name. You understand what I'm saying? And that's why Jesus said, and this was a lie, which was for to come. A lot of times, we sum things up in our mind. We just take it for granted. Say, well, you know, Jesus taught me, here's a great man, John the Baptist, and he was just telling him something over there. Now, folks, look, here's a great man. Let's call him Elijah. But that wasn't it at all. The Spirit of Almighty God had spoke of him before in the book of Malachi. I send my servant before my face, and he'll prepare my way. And the angel of the Lord had spoke before, said he shall go forth in the spirit of Elias. So Jesus was only saying what had already been said as to that which was pre-said, telling them that this was Elias, and they just had not recognized it. But it was the spiritual perspective of it. All right, anyway, we're not going to try to get into a lot of that. That's why that perhaps I seem like I don't agree with some people and their teachings or whatever. It's just that a lot of times you misunderstand, and I misunderstand, unless we stay right with the Lord, as to what is spiritual and what is not spiritual. And this is why the Bible speaks of studying to show yourself approved, a workman unto God that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, dividing to know what's spiritual and what is not spiritual, to understand as to what is prophetical and what is not prophetical. But anyway, there's so many things that we could say. But these few little things I want to say tonight as to we are getting close, that this war, all these things, the visions, the middle of the week, the 483 years, all these things I'm trying to press upon your mind. You're not really listening. You're not really getting it. You can't really fit it together. Some of you vaguely are putting a few things together. But see, when you're in here, you let your mind drift on things and people. And you let your minds drift. And your spirit is not steadfast as to honor and obey God, where he said, give the more earnest heed to these things that you've heard. Really listen at them and take heed how that you hear them. Incorporate them in your daily activities and lifestyle, lest in any time you let them slip. Said, seeing that the angels which received a just recompense of reward for every transgression, though they were so much greater than you, seeing that they did that and God counted his angels as unclean as to those that were fallen to demons, how much more we that dwell or tabernacle in these little houses of clay will he find fault with, except we be in the blood of Jesus, his own son, as to his own righteousness by his own spirit, is to give heed to these things that we are saying, the more earnest heed, that we don't let them slip. See? All right, for the Bible said, if we trample under feet the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, counting it an unholy thing, seeing that those in the wilderness died without mercy because of violating Moses' law, how much sore punishment shall you be thought worthy that will trample the blood of the Lord Jesus under your feet, coming to the knowledge of the truth, and not honor and obey him, the Lord Jesus? So God will be angry if you be guilty of the blood of his son. That's what happened to the Jews. And you see what's happened to them. All right, let's stand together. I kept you even now longer than I intended to. It seemed like it's just impossible to say anything to you. Glad to have you here tonight. I believe I saw Steve Martin go downstairs then. Steve was here tonight. He was down last night down there. We didn't get away from putting up the beams last night or this morning until about 2:30. We got away from there about 2:30 in the morning, and I know that some of them are tired. When I got home, I had to talk to the Lord a little bit, and makes it a little bit inconvenient to be able to do all the things that you need to do. And of course, I guess that's why that it's so disturbing when a minister of the gospel or the minister of God comes to deliver his soul. He knows of some that have given their time and some that are weary and tired from efforts. And he realizes that many of you are not. And then when you don't have time for the word, or you don't have any attention to the word, or you know, he knows that God is going to be so angry. I say this again, that if the Lord Jesus could offer up supplication with strong cryings and that God heard him, then folks, we need to really pray. Watch. We need to be careful. We need to call on the name of the Lord while there's opportunity to walk while it's day, for soon the night's coming as to intellectual darkness covering the earth when no man can work. Someone would say, well, what do you mean work while it's day? I mean, when you got fire, you got light. As long as the blood that represents the fire of God is on the seat of atonement, it's light as under grace. And you can walk in that light. If you walk in the light as he is in the light, you'll have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse you from all sin. But if you wait till the grace is gone, gross darkness shall cover the people. You walk in the darkness, then you stumble, for you'll not have grace, you'll not have light. You cannot work when the darkness comes. Satan wouldn't allow that if you missed this translation. All right, let's sing a little chorus together. I recommend to you that you get away from your childish way of life, your childish errors in life. And I recommend to you that you get down to business with God. And if you're not down to business with God, then get down to business with God. Like some of the brethren, myself, were having a little discussion over the late evening. Like Brother Tony was saying, you know, we start out, we're going to serve God, and we're going to track that villain down as to the devil. We're going to find him, so we start looking in our brothers' lives and in our sisters' lives. We start looking in our creditors' lives, and them that gossip, backbite, and them that say bad things, and them that put us down, and we start looking for them and looking at their lives, and we're going to track that villain down. And we keep on and keep on Until one day, spiritually speaking, we happen to be standing in front of a mirror and we look and there he is. And at last we found him. Let's give him a round. See, and we find, as Paul said, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death, that within my body there dwelleth no good thing." And there that wretched devil stands. And when we get our eyes open, we stop painting his lips with lipstick, and we stop putting eyeshadow around, and we stop putting on such lovely clothes and spending all of our money on him and all of our time in effort to feed his belly. Come on, folks. The Bible said they that have found Christ has mortified the deeds of the flesh with the deeds thereof, and that they have suffered and they're free from sin. See, and once we find him, we find he's hid within that human body. I'm glad that Jesus come to be me, that he might die to take him away, that I might be him, that I might live in the glory of God. Let's give the Lord a hand. All right. So the Bible said, "Let not sin reign in your mortal body, not to give place to it, not for a minute, not for a minute." Remember, we are the beloved body of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be holy and godly members in particular. And when we speak as the oracles of God. We try to live holy and godly and pure. It's not us living but him. And this body is now his body. Old things have passed away, and behold, I make all things new. A new heaven and a new earth, therein rejoicing. Okay, let's sing together, can we? Found a new place in God's heavenlies, a place of peace and a place of rest. Can you sing that with me? I found a new place in God's heaven is, in Jesus Christ, my Lord. Sing it again now. We found that new place. The Bible said God hath translated you into the marvelous kingdom of our God. He's hid you with Christ in heaven, or with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received in the time of the restitution of all things, that will rejoice forevermore. Be glad, ye saints, for God will joy over you with singing, and he will rejoice over you. He loves you. Put on your beautiful garments, O Zion, even the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, for as many as have been baptized into Christ, put on Christ. And ye that have been baptized in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are dead to the world, but the body of the Lord Jesus, your sins have been remitted. And today, you're the lovely child of God. You're the lovely body of Almighty God. And the Lord has begun to move. He's beginning to move in the earth, and things are beginning to happen. People are beginning to be filled with the Spirit. Things are taking place. Great and mighty things are taking place. I don't know about you, but like the songwriter said, I want to be in that number. Lord, let me be in that number when the saints were marching in. So, as the songwriter said again, it's not my mother, it's not my father, it's not my brother, it's not my sister, but it's me, oh Lord. I'm standing in need of prayer. You keep looking, you'll find that villain. He is a wretch. And you'll be surprised how much you favor him when you look at him in the mirror. You'll be shocked at the resemblance between you and him. And when you find him, the best thing that you can do is kill him right then and there. Get rid of him right then and there. Just kill him right then. There's only one thing you can do with him, and kill him. That is, kill him. So then when I came to know the Lord Jesus, when I really came to know him and my eyes got opened, then I reckoned myself to be dead. I just killed that fellow. I said, now he's dead. We'll get somebody to bury you. and we'll end that problem right there. We'll end that problem right there. And we won't go back like a grave robber and dig him up. Cause a bad odor. We'll leave him buried in debt. And folks, the quicker that you find him, and the quicker you recognize him, and the quicker you get rid of him, the quicker you're going to be happy, and the quicker you're going to find peace, joy unspeakable and full of glory. All of the paths of God of peace, he that keeps his mind stayed up in Christ Jesus shall have perfect peace. For all of the paths of God are peace. All of the paths of God are peace. And just as quick as you find God, find that path of peace. Just as quick as you recognize the way of the Lord Jesus, and you put your mind upon the Lord Jesus, you'll find a peace that passeth all understanding. Peace, peace, wonderful peace coming down from the Father above. Sweep over our soul forever, I pray, in the fathomless billows of love. So tonight, the Lord wants you. He wants to help you. He wants to bless you. He's got a blessing for you, the minister. Whosoever he blesses will be blessed. Whosoever he curses will be cursed. Whosoever sins he remits shall be remitted. Whosoever sins he loses shall be loosed. For Paul said, I've espoused you as a virgin to one husband, even the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is a chaste virgin. And I seek to present you unto him without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. For ye are my joy and crown in the Lord. Sing a little song the brother mentioned today that he taught like always was a blessing to him. Concerning being the greatest blessing on earth, as the songwriter said. Maybe some of you remember the song. I am God's own child by birth, the greatest honor on this earth. I claim Jesus first of all, and that's enough for me. Can we sing that together? I claim Jesus first of all, he will answer when I call. For I know that I am a child, the son set free. I am God's own child on earth, the highest honor on this earth. And I claim Jesus first, and that's enough for me. Sing that with me. For we claim Jesus first of all, he will answer me. For we know that we're the children God set free. We are God's own child by birth. It's the highest honor on this earth. We claim Jesus first, and that's enough for me. Sing one more time. So claim Jesus first of all. He will answer when you call. For you are the children God set free. You are God's own child by birth. It's the highest honor on this earth. We claim Jesus first of that. Let's claim Jesus first of all. He'll answer him all. For we know that we're the children God set free. We are God's own child by birth, the highest honor on this earth. I claim Jesus first, and that's enough for me. One more time. I claim Jesus first of all. He will answer me when I call. For I know that I'm his child and I'm set free. I am God.
God's own child by birth, the highest honor on this earth, and I claim Jesus first in that to love for me.
One more time.
Just claim Jesus first of all, God's first of all. For we know that we're God's children. We are God's own child by birth, the highest honor on this earth, and I claim Jesus first and that for love for me.
One more time.
Let's claim Jesus first of all. Answer me when I call. Oh, that I'm the child. God's own child on earth, the highest honor on this earth. And I claim Jesus Christ and the best love for me.
Let's give him up. So we claim Jesus, first of all. We claim him, and that's enough for me. Let's sing this little chorus together with the tail. Just a chorus or two, and we'll let you go.
I stand upon the mountain, looking o'er into the city, gives me faith that I can make it after all.
Can you sing it?
For after all this life is over, run my burdens, live and lift, and I stand upon the mountain, for so tall, looking over into the city, that my Lord city's prepared. Gives me faith that I can make it after all. After all, life is over, and my burdens have been lifted, and I stand. Also, looking over and through the city, that my Lord city's preparing, gives me faith that I can make it after all.
Can you sing that with me?
Far after all life is over, and my prayers have been lifted, and I stand before the mountain, also preparing gives me faith that I can make it after all. Across the bridge,
can you sing it?
There ain't no sorrow. Just across the bridge. There ain't no more strife. Barlow's gonna shine across the river, and I'll never
be happy again. One more time. Just to cross the bridge, there's no sorrow. Cross the bridge, there's no sight, for the sun is gone. And I'll never be unhappy again. For in this life I'm living in, I have lived a life of sin and forbidden things I should not do. I hurt my Savior on the way. Yes, for things to stay where there's happiness and love that's true. He said across the bridge, there ain't no sorrow. Said across the bridge, there's no pain. For the sun's gonna shine. And I'll never be unhappy. Can you sing one more time with me? Set across the bridge. And across the bridge, there's no pain. For the land of God, across the land, will never be unhappy. My Lord was here all the time, waiting patiently in line. He was here. And Jesus touched me. Oh, He touched me. Sing that with me. And oh, joy that floods my soul. Oh, something happened. And now I know that Jesus touched me and healed me. One more time. for my Lord touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, joy that floods my soul. Something happened and that Jesus touched me and healed me whole. Let's lift our hands up together. Jesus touched me and he made me whole. We'll sing this little chorus we sing so often, and that is, I will praise him. And I will praise him. I will praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Time together, can we sing it? I will praise him, my heart will praise him. While we're singing praises to the Lord, I think I'll add Jonathan to come up, if you will. Dismiss us tonight. While he's coming, blessed to love the Lord. While your heads are bowed and your hands are lifted up, your hearts toward heaven. Jonathan's coming. God has filled him with the Spirit of the Lord in the last few days. And remember, when the Spirit of God truthfully comes into your heart, you have eternal life. Hold fast, let no man take your crown. Don't forget that if you do not have the Spirit of the Lord, then you're none of his. And remember that if you're none of his, then you go into the lake of fire. Because it's not a matter of going and missing heaven and just saying, well, it's too bad. If you miss heaven, then you go to hell. So you have to go to heaven to keep from going to hell. That makes it very much so imperative as to your eternal welfare. If you don't go to heaven, you missed it all, but you do go to hell. You repent and perish. But if you do make heaven, you don't go to hell. Hell is forever behind you. It's no more. It'll be swallowed up in the lake of fire. Say so often, God didn't make hell for his people. He made it for the devil and his angels in the time of his anger. The Bible said, hell is moved for to meet thee at thy coming and enlarge itself without measure because of the wickedness of the people. So he doesn't want you to go there. He didn't make it for you. The lake of fire is made for hell. Whereas God puts people in hell, he puts hell in the lake of fire. Death
is made to swallow up people, but whereas death swallows up people, God made the lake of fire to swallow up death. The devil binds and swallows up people, but God made the lake of fire to swallow up Satan. So tonight, as Jonathan comes, just a young fella, searching, looking for, trying to find his way, you encourage him while he encourages you tonight. And don't miss eternal life. You don't get it after this life. Remember, somebody says, well, Brother Pike, after this life, I'll do something about it. You don't do anything after this life. Someone would say, well, when we stand before God, you know, we'll all be judged and I'll have as good a chance as anybody. It's not based on chance. Judgment begins in the house of God. Now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. You have opportunity now to repent and be saved as the minister remits your sins. You have salvation. And beloved friend, if you don't get it now, you don't get it at all. It won't be given when you stand before God. All right, you'll be standing there to be rewarded according to the deeds you've done in your body as to the utilization of that potential that you've enlarged upon as to whatever you've done, and as to be turned away altogether if you don't have that spirit as to the powers of utilization. So as he comes tonight, think on these things. And as has been said, when it's well with you, think on me and pray for me and my wife and my family. Lord, we're praying for you, Brother John.